David Hawkins is editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focused on reversing dysfunction in American government. He's also former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call. Okay, David, welcome back. It's always a pleasure to have you. You're such a smart guy. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks. You always pry my brain open, so let's have at it.
Okay, we'll have at it. Now, Biden's first big victory was the COVID relief package, also known as the American Rescue Plan. And by the way, I hate it when they give these names to things. You know, it just seems so condescending. I don't know. Anyway, so tell me, David Hawkins, what's the big takeaway from the COVID relief package?
Well, I guess the big takeaway is, depending on whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, the Democrats would say, he tried to reach out to the Republicans and they wouldn't play ball, so we had to do it with entirely Democratic votes. And the Republicans would say, he didn't really reach out to us at all, so they just went ahead and did it with all Democratic votes. And either way, it does not bode well for what tiny glimmer there was of thought that maybe at Inauguration Day there might be some bipartisan consensus on some big things. But that doesn't look to be happening anytime soon, and now the president is talking about an even more ambitious package as his second big legislative thing.
Well, yeah, you know, you make a very good point. It seems to me the president is saying, okay, my opportunity is here. Either we do it now or it ain't going to get done. And I think that the big question is what one senator from West Virginia can do with all the president's plans. Can you talk about that a bit?
Sure. Yeah, there are now several sort of insider Washington newsletters who have started referring to Joe Manchin of West Virginia as the majority leader, not Chuck Schumer, in sort of a tongue-in-cheek. It's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but not really, because Joe Manchin, who is the he is a Democrat from an overwhelmingly Republican state, West Virginia, which I think Donald Trump carried twice by like 35 or 40 points. He is a somewhat fiscally conservative and culturally conservative Democrat. And given, without the filibuster, you know, with a filibuster, you got to have 60 votes, which means you got to have, in today's Senate, 10 Republican votes. Even without the filibuster, if they use the special rules that allow you to move legislation without a filibuster, you still need 50 votes plus Kamala Harris's tiebreaker. The Democrats have a total of 50, but Joe Manchin is one of those 50, and he is he does not seem to be interested in playing ball with some of the most ambitious things that the president Biden wants to do. And he also doesn't want to change the filibuster, which arguably changing the filibuster would give him even more power. But he says, nope, the filibuster is a good idea.
So let's go to the filibuster. We've heard some Biden comments. I mean, I started saying, okay, leave it alone because someday the Democrats are going to be in the minority again. But I've sort of changed my mind. I think this is a historical moment, David Hawkins, and, you know, you got to take it when you can. And he's going to be known, Biden, is going to be known for what he's accomplished in his time in office. So I'm saying, okay, go for it. What do you think?
Well, you know, they pay me to not have a firm opinion, but I, you know, to not stake out a position on the things that I cover. But I would say that it's easy to be of two minds about the filibuster, because yes, it's sort of fabled in song and story as this great, you know, it's the way the Senate cools the heated passions of the House, blah blah blah. It's also the case that certainly in modern times, and certainly in our lifetimes, it has mostly been used by the minority to historically block civil rights legislation, to make democracy, you know, in protecting the rights of the minority party. The result has been to harm the rights of minority voters and minority people in the country. That's just the history of it in the past 60 years. The filibuster was not used all the time until very recently. It became the tool of Mitch McConnell during the Obama years, and to block much of the Obama agenda. It has become now sort of the default setting of the Senate. Whatever, it's a little bit like the Groucho Marx horse feathers. Whatever they're for, I'm against it. That people immediately raise the filibuster, and it just stops things in its tracks. So you're right. Turnabout is fair play. If Biden calls for an end to the filibuster now, in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, it could be the Republicans having this power, and who knows what they would do with it. But for now, without a change in the filibuster, there's a whole lot that Joe Biden can't get done, starting with this democracy reform and voting rights package.
So what do you think it might be like to have a phone call that we could hear between Biden and Manchin? You think Biden has anything, any kind of controls on this one senator who comes from a most conservative state? Do you think when he really needs him, he can get him?
I think probably on sometimes, but not other times. I mean, Joe Manchin succeeds in what, I mean, Joe Manchin, he was a two-term governor of West Virginia. He's sort of an iconic, I mean, he's not quite a Robert Byrd level, the famous Robert Byrd from West Virginia. He is Robert Byrd's successor. He doesn't have quite that iconic standing back home, but he's pretty well regarded. And Joe Manchin, is a political survivor and wants to continue to be a political survivor and wants to continue to have leverage. And so I think probably Biden is only going to be partly persuasive with the guy.
Now, we know the American people really wanted the COVID relief package. Nevertheless, many of them come from red, red, red states. So how does that all work out? You know, does the success of the bill, of the COVID relief bill, the almost $2 trillion bill, translate into more votes for Democrats or not?
Probably, I don't think it probably does at this point. For one thing, you know, the election's a relative long way off. People have short memories. People sort of expected this from their government. You know, a lot can happen between now and next election. The president's party generally, not even generally, I think almost without exception, loses seats in the first midterm of the president's term, and that's going to be compounded by the redrawing of the maps that favors the Republicans, because the Republicans are going to be in charge of redrawing most of the maps. So I don't think it's – I think it's ephemeral. I think that the COVID relief package's effect on the Democrats' popularity is going to be of limited time.
And now I want to just go to infrastructure for a moment. He's looking, the president, at a major infrastructure bill. Trump talked about infrastructure, didn't do it, but he talked about it. It would be, again, a multi-trillion dollar bill to fix up the roads and everything else that we have in this country. Is he likely to get it?
Well, he's likely to. He is, without getting too nerdy, but circling back
you
to what we've
never.
Been talking about.
Right.
I can be nerdy?
No, you would never be nerdy. Go ahead, David Hawkins.
He can, yeah, right. We're talking about $3 trillion this time. Looks like he will be able to get it. I think Joe Manchin will go for this one in part because Joe Manchin believes, unlike the Republicans that many of the Republicans that he represents, he believes in paying for stuff. In other words, he believes that when the government is not acting in an emergency like the COVID relief bill, that if we're going to be rebuilding the country and bringing in the internet to rural areas and rebuilding roads and bridges and creating jobs, things to make the economy greener, our infrastructure greener, that should be paid for with taxes. And so I guess he's going to vote for that. I think that the this is not, of course, going to pass, I don't think, not with big tax increases, except with that 50 votes, no filibuster kind of system. I don't think there are 10 Republicans who are going to vote to spend $3 trillion and raise taxes to help pay for it.
Great to talk to David Hawkins, our very good friend, who is also the editor of Fulcrum, a former editor of CQ and Roll Call. David, we are very lucky to have you, and we want to wish you well. We're going to be coming back soon for more conversation.
I'm looking forward to it.